My guest today is pretty exciting. She has one of the biggest, brightest smiles you'll ever see. Her name is Paula Sima. She's the proud owner and host of Talk Shit with P podcast, a safe platform where she talks shit about every shit. Big mental health advocate, and she has personally gone through depression. She ended up starting that podcast during COVID and absolutely loves it. Three times she's been a case study presenter on the mental health panel at PodFest. And this year, I met her when she spoke at Pecha Kucha on how podcasting saved my mental health. She loves what she does. She loves meeting people. And I have never met anyone who is so up all the time. I think it's absolutely incredible, and I know you're going to love her as much as I do. Just to be on the safe side, we're going to make a little caveat here that the language can get a little raw. And you know what? Sometimes that's what's necessary. I can't wait to introduce you to Paula Sima.
Suicide Zen Forgiveness, the pod that shares the stories of those affected by suicide. Lost a loved one? Attempted it yourself? Come listen in with your host, Elaine Lindsay. Please note, the Suicide Zen Forgiveness podcast is for education only. Some of this subject matter could be triggering. For those of you that are either grieving or having mental health problems, please call your local suicide hotline or mental health office if you need immediate help. And now, here's your host, Elaine Lindsay.
Paula, it is so lovely to have you here as my guest.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here today with you.
Well, it is an absolute honor to have you. And we have jumped through a few hoops, I will let you know, to get here today. And that's why we're both smiling so much. Yeah, it's been one of those days. You know, you have those days where whatever can go wrong does go wrong. I think it makes us appreciate what goes right all that more. So,
in a podcaster phrase, are you really a podcaster if you don't have technical difficulties?
Absolutely.
And that's why I started a segment called Shit Happens, because shit literally happens when you think you got it right. You can prepare as much as you want to prepare, but shit always happens.
That is so true. I was once interviewing a very, very famous guest. His name is Ted Rubin. He's been in social media forever. He's a brilliant man. And somehow or other, I messed up the mic, so I had no sound. And I kept asking, like, can't you hear me? And like 20 minutes go by. Oh my God, I was so mortified. But he was wonderful. He came back and did more shows with me. So yeah. I'm definitely a podcaster because I've hit all the high notes and the low notes.
And that's why we appreciate most of the time shit goes wrong around people who are either in the social media or in the podcasting, in the industry where they understand.
And even
if you're not, we are sharing this so that if you are just a regular guesting who doesn't have to deal with this stuff, if it happens, just be patient, because shit happens however much you prepare. So just be patient with us. Like, technology has a way of, it has its own mind. It will decide when it wants to work and when it doesn't. Like, you can't control the Wi-Fi, you can't control the weather, you can't control shit.
It's so true. We had a guest, and thank God the guest is familiar with what goes on, because a thunderstorm cropped up and hit one of the power lines and I disappeared. It was like 25 minutes and I went back, and the guest had been leading the show without me, which was awesome. So yeah, anybody, it's shit happens. I think we need to plaster that everywhere. We need mugs that say,
"Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, wait,
oh, see, I knew she'd have something." Yes, I love it. Okay, that is perfect.
This is one of the new segment under the Talk Shit with Pee umbrella. So sponsored by Talk Shit with Pee, but we bring you Shit Happens, where shit happens, and I do it live. So normally the shit is happening while I'm live with guests and an audience, and things go wrong, and we're like, but we're here, we're making it happen. So you know,
well, you know what they say, life is not perfect, and that's a good thing. That's definitely a good thing.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
A dog picking at my leg too. You get out of the way. So to get to the matter at hand, and it's actually good that we're having all the fun now, because the podcast can at times be very, very serious, because we talk about serious things in our lives and the tough times that we have. But what's important is that we always leave the audience with hope. And as you can see, the two of us really do enjoy having fun. And I will tell you, okay, Paula is like the Energizer Bunny. I have never in my life seen anyone who is constantly on and happy as a lark. It didn't matter whether I was seeing her first thing in the morning pre-coffee, or if I was seeing her last thing at night at a party. You are one of the happiest, most genuine people, and you light up a room no matter where you are. And that comes from my heart, because I saw you the first day I went to PodFest in Orlando. And the very first day I saw this little spitfire who was just lighting up every area she went to. And when I finally got to talk to her, she's even better in real life when you get to actually chat with her. You are just absolutely lovely. And I am feeling very blessed to have you here, because I know whatever you're going to impart to the audience, they're going to be able to take away value. And that for me is really important. So
that means so much to me. You have no idea. And I always tell people, I think God gives me a different energy when I'm at PodFest, because I don't think I have that energy in real life. But it's different when I'm at PodFest. And it's funny, because I was talking about you yesterday, but also I remember the first time when I came out with letting people know that I have depression and I'm battling with depression. Everybody couldn't believe it, because they're like, "You're always happy. Like, you're always cheering us on. You're always this. How can you be depressed?" And I was like, that right there is the reason why I'm speaking up, because we assume that because somebody is always happy or they bring light, that can't mean they're battling their own battles. Maybe it's because I'm battling my own battles, I need to bring this light outside.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's part of why I wanted to put that out there, because I knew what we were going to talk about in terms of mental health. And people have assumptions about people that are depressed, people that have anxiety, people that have bipolar, people seem to have these preconceived notions. And part of why I do this podcast is because we need to start those difficult conversations. We need to bring it out so that people understand, you know what? We're just like you. We're just like everybody else. But sometimes when you battle with mental illness, when you have to go through bouts of depression and anxiety, you do tend to be much more upbeat, because you're appreciating the good times.
Or maybe, and sometimes it's also escaping your own darkness, right? Because whenever I feel the darkness, and it comes, everybody experiences depression, anxiety in different ways. That's what I'm saying. And that's why I like having conversations with people and finding out what helps them, because my depression is not the same as yours. Your depression can be in a way that even if whatever I try to tell you, might not hear it because it's on a different level compared to where I am. So whenever I feel my depression, I'm in this dark hole where I feel so dark that all I'm seeing is darkness around me. And in order for me to get out of that darkness, I have to be the light I need people to bring into me. So in order to crave that light or to go look for it, because I've realized misery loves company, right? So the more miserable you are, the more in darkness you stay, you'll find those people who will put you also in there, who will want to bring on the party. Yes, let's be sad because fuck the world, because nobody cares. But then I want the light. I am a happy, and that's the thing, I am a happy person. I love being a happy person. I love being around happy people because life has so much darkness in itself without our own shit. Life in itself has so much darkness. So I need the light to help me when I'm in the dark, to remind me that, yo, you are a light and there's light out there. So today, stay in this darkness, but tomorrow, remember that as long as you get up and be a light, light will reflect back on you. So I just want, like, I realize that that's one way for me to get out of my darkness, by being a light and providing light. And believe it or not, once you are that, you attract light, because you attract what you put out there.
Yeah. Yes. That is such a big, important point. Okay. When we go looking for confirmation, whether we are looking for positive confirmation or negative confirmation, we will find it. It absolutely, that's how the universe works. And so when you know that one way to help yourself is to look for positives, to look for the light rather than the dark, it's critically important to always kind of keep that as a little tool for you to be able to pull out as soon as you can. And we all have, you know, those dark days, we all, what I call my wallow times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll have a few weeks with really a lot of pain, and I'll allow myself some wallow time. But it has borders, okay?
It's deadline.
Like, yeah. You can have an hour, okay? But after an hour, that's it. Because it's true. If you go somewhere and you bring your misery with you, all the misery comes to join. Every single bit of misery for miles will come and pile on and pile on. And in the end, all of you feel worse, not better. So if you can get yourself to just find one little ray of light. You know, I'll hear a bird in the morning, or the dogs will come and say good morning, or something tiny. And just take a moment to be grateful for that. And then the next thing you see is something else to be grateful for. And again, like what you put out, what you want to confirm comes to you, also what you offer comes to you. Over and over again.
And that's so true. I'm the same. And I tell people that you have to allow yourself to feel, because the more you deny yourself to like you call it your wallow place, or your, if you don't allow yourself to do that, you are just making it worse for yourself deep down. And you're going to explode in the worst ways ever. So whenever we see people having mental breakdown, it's because they didn't want to have those mini breaks down and hidden in them. And then eventually, even the place that's you're pushing them down, it's getting full. It's like, okay, I can no longer, you can no longer shove shit in. Yeah, it has to explode. You know, just when you shake a bottle of Coke and you open it, it's going to explode. So I also have that. I give myself that, yo, okay, you have lost a job. So take this 1 week. Be sad, cry, be mad, stay in bed, watch shows. But as soon as that Sunday comes where it's the end of the week, you're going to wake up on Monday morning, go outside, shower. Even if you don't do, you're not as productive, but do one thing, whether it's to shower and then you move to the sofa. Whether it's to shower and you go outside and get fresh air. Because even going outside, people underestimate the power of fresh air and just being outside, a walk. Because you will see people, you start, I'm a people watcher, right? You watch people, it gives you the stories, you become creative. Or you even see couples holding hands as they're taking an evening stroll. Or you see, you find a beauty in anything, a bird chipping away. The sound of a bird, you know, the leaves falling, and it just puts a smile on your face because there is beauty in nature. And sometimes because we're in the dark, we forget that, yes, the world is cruel, but there's still beauty in cruelty. So we have to enjoy those moments. So give yourself time. And that's why even these days I tell people, because we have come to this place where now everybody wants to give each other grace for certain shit, right? We tell each other, give yourself grace, but also give yourself tough love. You should know, because we can constantly, I can tell myself, I'm giving myself grace and it's 6 months. No, you can't give yourself grace for 6 months.
No.
You need to know where the grace ends. Like, okay, we have given you enough grace. Now you gotta get up and get this shit going, because you can't keep giving yourself grace. So you should allow yourself to feel, but give yourself timeline. Like, listen, I'm going to give myself 30 minutes to be a bitch right now because I need to be a bitch and take this anger out. And then after 30 minutes, okay, I'm back to being my humble self. Let's go. Or if you need an hour, you need an entire Sunday. Okay, Sunday. Cry, hide, sleep in the dark, whatever you need. But tomorrow, wake up and feel fresh. So that is very important for people to remember that that's how you keep moving. That's how you don't have mental health breakdown. It's not a promise you might not have a mental health breakdown, because no. Baby, that shit just surprises you. That's why it's called a mental health breakdown. But it might decrease the occurrences of this shit because you allow yourself to feel. And it's okay to feel. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to... I used to, for the longest time, I gave myself a hard time for even thinking about suicide when things got rough. But I decided to look at it the other way. It's okay to think about ending your life as long as you don't do it. Because when I'm in that stage of thinking about it, it helps me remember what I'm leaving behind. And that's the reason I haven't committed suicide. I'm not saying I haven't thought about it. I have. I've been in dark places where I've really been like, you know what? Nobody gives a fuck right now. I should end my life. But I'm lying. Because when you're in a dark place, you can tell yourself nobody cares. But in reality, I have a dad who would go to ends of the world for me. And I know if I end up committing that act, I'm going to be killing him. I might not be personally putting a knife on him or shooting him, but I'm killing him. Because in his head, he'll be like, what did I do wrong, right? Because they'll blame themselves. Why couldn't she come to me? And God knows I can go to my dad for anything. And I'm blessed like that. So I understand. I don't blame people who end up committing suicide, because maybe those people didn't have that. Or maybe they did have that, but we're in this world where we're supposed to constantly feel strong and hustle and not share our feelings. So people don't know how you're feeling. People, even though I know that, oh, Elaine got me, but Elaine has never really told me, yo, whatever you need, I'm here for you, because we don't tell each other that. So in my head, even though I understand she's there for me, but I don't have that assurance that
right.
I am really there. That's why it's important to have these conversations. It's important to tell your loved ones you love them, you need them, you are really there for them, you write for them. Because when they get in that suicide thought, that's what made me not commit suicide, because it was like, yo, my dad will never forgive himself. And that will mean me killing him, because he will never have the same life that he has. He'll never be that 100% happy and everything. So by going through suicides, and I think of those, and then I'm like, but look at what I'm building with this. I'm almost close. Look at how the people are believing me with this. Look how people, how many people tell me they love me or because I shared my story, I'm here. So it puts me those thoughts and I'm like, you know what? It's tough. And maybe, yes, committing suicide would end this shit, but am I really ready to end this shit? So even having those thoughts, it's okay to have them. Don't feel guilty about having them because sometimes they could be the assurance you need to keep moving or to actually wake up. Because sometimes I'd be like, yo, fuck it, man. My dad needs me. I get up and I'm like, okay, what do we need to do to keep moving? So just a reminder out there.
Yeah, that's such a good point. And a couple of things there, because I lost my friend when I was 16. And that was a time in my life where nobody knew that I had had ideation since I was a kid. I didn't even know what it was. I just knew that taking my life was an option whenever anything went wrong. Didn't matter what it was. So when Andrea took her own life, I went into complete shutdown. I didn't want to see or hear or feel. I just could not comprehend how this had happened. How did I not see it? And these are the recriminations that we live with when we lose someone. But all these years later, it took me until 2013, and Andrea died in 1971 on New Year's Eve. And in 2013, when I first started telling my story, I worked with a wonderful editor to get my talk prepped. And she said to me, when we were finishing the final draft, she said to me, wow, it's odd, and I don't know how you'll take this, but your friend kind of gave you a gift. I said, what? I said, well, think about it. All the times that I came close, all the times that I just couldn't make it through another surgery. I just couldn't live with this pain anymore. I had Andrea right there in my face saying, you know how you felt when I died. You know what it did to you. Do you want to do that to the people that you love? And so you have such a beautiful love for your father. You got to see that without someone having to show you that. And for that, I think that's amazing. That you are that intuitive, because that is a wonderful thing to hang on to. And now that's the reason I do this podcast, because all these years were given to me by Andrea's gift, because it's very, very doubtful that I would be here without that. So understanding that there are things greater than us that are trying to help us to get through those dark times. And yeah, sometimes it's a week, sometimes it's more that you have to take, I guess, to bring yourself back to yourself. Because let's face it, we're all living with a lot. This pandemic has absolutely turned the world around. And there are people we're not even really thinking about yet. The kids that were born at the beginning of 2020, for the next 2 years, sometimes more, you realize those children have never seen a stranger smile at them? Because all they saw were people in masks. How do you learn to trust the world when you can't see the most important sign we have from another human? So there are all these pieces, I believe, that your podcast and my podcast, we're trying to reach out to make a difference, to start conversations that are going to help the rest of the world actually, you know, get to a point that we are talking to other people. I think it's important if you are somewhere and there's a stranger on the street, that you're sitting at a bus stop or you're somewhere, you just offer to listen. Take 10 minutes out of your life, maybe once a month, and actually listen to someone else, because you haven't heard me say it before, I am here for you, absolutely. And I'm more than happy to say that to you, because I understand that place of darkness. You're right, mine is totally different. I will cocoon and no one will see it, because on the outside, I'm the greatest actress there is. All mine is safe in a very hidden place. And that's not a good thing. It's better now that I know that, so that like you can, you know, try to get yourself out of there. Give yourself that time limit. I think that's important. But it's important that you take your story out there and show people what's possible from what you've gone through and where you are now. Because that's the hope that you want to be offering to people that are out there. And quite frankly, I think you are an incredible tonic for others. And there's that smile.
Thank you. I'm so sorry about Andrea. To lose a friend at any age is not any better, but at a young age, it's even much more worse, because we're still in that age where we really are trying to believe life is beautiful, right? And then we still really don't understand death or anything, compared to once you're a little bit grown, where you understand we're all going to die at some point. But it's not less painful. And that's the thing about grief. There's no time limit on grief, right? Sometimes the people you have known the longest, the pain might be one day, depending on how the connection was. And then the person you've known the shortest, but the connection was deeper, might be the longest grieving. And it's all about how they mattered, how they played in your life. So every grief is different. And that's why there's some artists too, when they die, we feel a little bit more, even though we don't know them, but we know about their impact to us, either through their music or their podcasts or their books or their stories, you know? So, but it's funny, because I was that person who, I am still that person who's a very happy person, but I was a person who never shared my story. Like, I every day to me was, I'm happy, I'm good. Like, but the darkness stays inside me. Well, unlike these days where I shout it out, like, I'm sad, leave me alone, I'm depressed, I'm this. Like, I literally shout to whoever wants to hear. But I remember eventually when I really understood what depression was, this was around 2016, going to 17. And I started a movement called Life with Paula. Again, shout out to my dad and mom. Well, my mom told me, pray and let God lead you to what you need to do. And at that time, I was in and out of my relationship with God. You know, I grew up a Christian, and then I went to college. So when you're forced to do certain things as a child, and then you go to college, you're like, now I make my own decisions. I'm drinking on Saturday night. Nobody has time to wake up Sunday morning to go to church. And I don't have my mom waking me up. So you kind of stray away. And then, and this is why I don't force religion or spiritual to anybody. Because I feel like whenever people are ready to receive whatever they need, they'll find it. Whether it's a spiritual healer, whether it's God, whoever you want to believe in, you have the right to, because we all go through different journeys and something different heals all of us. To me, it was my relationship with God. I found him again. I started praying. And the more I kept on praying, the more I felt my heart feel less heavier. And something told me that I needed to share my story, because I can't be supported if I don't talk about it. And at that time, I'm African, so, you know, mental health is still taboo in Tanzania. Like, literally now it's getting there. So I started a movement called Life with Paula, where I started going on live on Instagram and sharing my story. And later, because I'm also kind of going through some phases, that's why I'm also taking time off social media and everything. But I wanted to now, and that group was a healing process for me. It was people who came together, a lot of friends. There are people who I didn't even know tried to commit suicide, and they were my friends, but I didn't know they were dealing with this, because all of us felt like we needed to keep it inside and hide it. And then now it became a group where we helped each other to the extent where in the beginning, the group, the notifications would be like 100 by the time I woke up. And mind you, most of the people in Tanzania or South Africa or somewhere, so time difference as well. Yeah. To an extent where one day I woke up where there's zero notification, it shows that we have been supporting each other to a point where we now know how to deal and to move on. So when it ended, but everybody was in good. So when I decided, I was like, I'm tired of, I have enough online support. And this is the power of sharing your story, right? When you share your story, you find support in people that, because we are constantly crying that we are not getting support, but people don't know how to support you. Or the people who love you also don't know how to support you. But when you share your story, you find people who know how to support you. They don't have to be your family or friends, but support is there. You just have to be willing to ask for it and tell them. I ended up in communities, in groups where they allowed me to be who I am and share their techniques. Okay, if this doesn't work, I do this, I do this. We exchange ideas, we talk. When I need to talk, they're there to listen. So the support was there. And now I want to bring it back to real life because I'm like, I have enough community support. But now the world, COVID is over. The world is, I can't depend on online support when I'm feeling loneliness in person. I need in person. So I want to bring back life with Paula in person. So I reached out to the old members, right? And I was like, do you mind sharing testimonials so that, because people to come to your space to share their stories and feel vulnerable, they need to know it's a safe space. So I don't need fake testimonials. I need the people who help me create this group to share their testimonials so they people can feel like, oh my God, this is a safe space. And they were so willing, but they started reminding me of the things we used to do and how I made them feel and everybody giving me. And you don't do it for credit, but when you hear people talk about how because of you creating this space for them, they became this version and they remind you of how you made them feel. Even the little thing, right? Sometimes you just, by just checking on somebody or just by praying for them or just by holding their hand when they needed it, for you, you think it's such a small thing, but people take it with you. So they were reminding me of those things and it was just like, wow, like, this is the legacy I want to have. This is the community I want to build where they don't have to shine it to the world. But deep down, I know that in some way I've touched them and I've made their life a little better, their mental health journey a little bit better by being me a part of it. So it was just a beautiful thing. And this goes back to say that there's this quote I found when I found it, and it has stuck with me a lot because it says people don't talk about how much it takes to pull yourself out of darkness. We always talk about, oh, you're going under the hole. Oh, you know, just get up. Tomorrow is a better day. Oh, hold yourself. But people don't underestimate that once, because depression, anxiety, it's a mind fuck. So once your mind is fucked, right? No matter, you already put yourself in that hole to get out, to believe these things, whether people are telling, it's a process. It's hard. And that's why people also don't want to go through the growth journey, through the healing process, because you have to look deep down, go through it and build. It's an ongoing process, which is very hard. So be kind to each other out there, especially people who are going through this journey. They're going to fall down and have to get up, because the better you get, the more shit you realize and the more holes it opens and the more holes you have to go through. So it's really a darkness journey that we are just trying to do our best. So be kind to people. And if you don't have anything to say, don't say shit. Like, it's okay to not say shit other than just saying shit to be smart. Like, just shut your mouth. I'm sorry. Like,
you don't have to be sorry. Those are such wise words. I love that. And yeah, it always looks easy from the outside.
Like, just get up. Tomorrow is a nice day. You have a roof over your head. I get it. There's a homeless person who's sleeping outside in the cold right now while it's snowing. And I sympathize for them. But like, I can tell my emotion. Just stop feeling how you're feeling because we have a roof over our head. Like, come on.
Yeah, that does not fill the hole that's in your heart. It just does not.
It doesn't.
And that's part of humans. I said humans are comparative. That's a good trait, but it's also a really bad trait. Because by comparing ourselves to others, we never notice the good in them and us. We notice the lack. And it's always what we lack first. So I challenge people to really think about that. The next time you want to compare yourself to someone, how about you compare the good points you both have rather than what you lack?
And that's so true, because even in life, right? Like, I always see with the celebs, with the politicians or anything. And this is why I don't also talk much about politics, or I don't argue with people about celebs or anything. But ever since I started doing the growth work in me to learn myself, and I've always been an empathy person, a deep person, and compassionate. And even when I started my podcast, I always say that I don't care if we have different, like everybody, I'm okay with arguing to, I'm okay with agreeing to disagree. Like,
yeah,
I wanna hear your point so that I can better understand you. I don't have to agree with it, but I can understand why you're doing that or why you're leaving that. And this is what people don't wanna do. People have this assumption where, oh, but this is the life you're supposed to be living this way. But where does that come from? Where does this norm come from? There's no way that to say that's the life. As long as people are happy, right, they should be okay. But then we have this feeling that we have this big advantage in people's life where they have to live a certain way, otherwise they are wrong. But we all come from different backgrounds. We all come from different cultures. We all come from different societies. We have all been taught different norms that most of us these days are learning to unlearn those norms. But also, it's just have the conversations. Be okay to hear where that person is at. And you don't have to agree with it. You just have to understand, like, listen, this is who I am. I want to live like this because this is what I want. And it's okay to say, you know what? I get where you're coming from. It is not for me, but I get where you're coming from. And that's okay. And that goes also to when people make mistakes. We hold this big accountability on people that they're supposed to be perfect, that one mistake makes them a bad person. You're forgetting that they have all these thousand good things they did, but because they did that one mistake where you're not even trying to find why they did, how they came into making that mistake or anything, you come into, oh, they're a bad person. Oh, let's cancel them. Oh, fuck them. Okay, but are you, and that's where there's always a line where you're pointing your finger, there's three, four fingers pointing back. Like, look at yourself first. Are you clean? Like, are you spooky clean? You don't make mistakes. And if you don't make mistakes, I don't want to be around people who don't make mistakes, because life is about making mistakes and learning and relearning and living and growing. So if you're not making mistakes, you're clearly not my person, to be honest with you.
Nor are you learning anything, you know?
So
I totally agree with you, because, well, perfection and sameness, like, just think about it. If we were all exactly the same, oh my God, that would be so boring.
Wow. And it's the thing, the perfectionist is how people end up with mental health disorders because of this. I am supposed to be this. Who says you're supposed to be this? Where is that coming from? Only God knows, the higher power, only He knows how your life is supposed to be. And maybe you're getting so much blocks because that's not the road you're supposed to go. So
that's true.
Let's have more compassionate and allow people to be who they are, because that also helps with decreasing mental health. Because people always want to hide because they're scared of the judgment that comes from them living.
There are just so many pieces of the puzzle that you and I can talk about, so many chapters that we can get into, and I'm sure we could probably talk all day. I think maybe I'd like to give you a chance to maybe give us an idea of what you'd like to see for people going forward. What are some of the things that maybe came out of the pandemic, came out of you starting to understand more things and doing the podcast? What are the things that you think, oh, this would be good for people now?
To be honest, I would just, and it's funny because I've seen this once. I started podcasting and being in communities where it's more collaboration over competition. So I want to see more compassionate and kindness in this world. Like, you don't have to understand someone's reasonings, and you don't even need to know. Like, be appreciative if they share or they want to share, but you don't even need to know somebody's reasonings for why they're doing certain things for you to, you know, like they say, drink your water and mind your business. But more compassionate and more healing. Like, I feel like if we do a lot of healing, because the pandemic showed me that most of us are broken. We already knew we are all broken. Like, no, there's nobody perfect. And sometimes our brokenness comes in weird ways. Some of us, our brokenness is seen from the outside. Some of us, it's through the inside. So a lot of healing. Let's heal. And once we heal, I feel like it will be the compassionate will come, the empathy will come, the kindness will come, because we are all healing. And the world can be a better place because we choose to make the world a better place. Yes, we can't control climate change. We can't control all the shit that the world dropped, but we can control how we make each other feel and what we put out there to the world. So, and because once I started sharing my story and just living my authentic, showing up as my authentic self, I was embraced for it. So stop hiding. Be who you are. And the more you are, the you'll find the support you need. And it will help with your mental health as well. So there are places that will accept you as you are. Because believe it or not, I curse a lot. And sometimes people even tell me, you can't be on stages if you curse. But then I found PodFest where they allow me on stages and I curse them. And this is an Ellen story that I need to share, because I was presenting my presentation at PodFest, and it did have a little curse words, you know, because the F-bomb. And when I talk with my emotions and I share my story, I do talk in that way. So, because it comes out naturally, like the fuck word just loves me. So as I was sharing, a lot of people were understanding, and I had internet network problems at PodFest, most of us did. So I didn't get to see the messages until later on, but Elaine's message was one of them from Uber app. But I was standing with this producer, right? Shout out to Mark and Pod Podcasting Room. And Elaine was walking towards me. And it's funny because I didn't know she had already sent me a message on Uber app. But then as she was walking towards me, I thought she was coming to talk to Mark because he's well known. I was like, who's going to come talk to me? Like, I'm Paula. Nobody really. Like, I know people at PodFest know me, but, you know, nobody really also knows me because we have this in our head. I'm this small person. I only do this. Who gives a fuck what people do give a fuck? I mean, I find. So Elaine came towards me and I was like, oh, nice to meet you. Okay, I'm going to let you talk. And she's like, no, I'm coming to talk to you. I fucking love your presentation. And I was like, this old lady in front of me is cussing right now. Like, so yes,
just call me an old lady.
I'm old too. I love being old. Like, I no longer like being young. Like, the young people can have it. It's too much stress being young. Like, you get away with a lot once you decide to acknowledge you're old. Like,
oh yeah, you have to get out of jail free card.
People underestimate. People throw that being old like it's a bad word or bad thing. But baby, I love being old. Like, I can be like, well, I'm old. I don't know how to do this shit. Can I have a menu instead of scanning this shit? There you go. You know, like, you can get away with it. Well, yesterday I was in a bar and I was wearing my talk show with P jumper, and we were talking about my podcast. And this guy was like, that would be funny to explain to my 70-year-old grandma that I'm listening to talk show with P. I was like, you'll be surprised. Literally, somebody, I don't know, if she's not in her 70s, but somebody was walked up to me and said, I fucking love your podcast and your name and shit. So don't put the 70-year-olds in a bracket. Like, they're the worst ones, actually, to be honest, if we're being honest. The 70, 80-year-old ladies, they be cursing way more and understanding this. So,
and just to keep the record straight, I am only 68. Don't make me any older.
You see, you're not even old. 68 is still fucking young. Like,
and mentally, you know, I'm 12. It doesn't matter.
Of course, exactly. At the end of the day, the number doesn't really matter. It's how you feel inside.
Yeah.
So you can be 80, but you're feeling like you're 20-year-old, or you can be 20 and feeling like an 80-year-old. They are those people. So.
Yep.
So it's just a mindset of it, but to share all that to say is, be your authentic self, because those who resonate with you will be there. And I'd rather be in a community where I only have 5 people who show up for me as being myself than in communities where I constantly have to show up as somebody else, but around people, because they're not really showing up for me. They're showing for the persona that I am portraying. So is it really me? So at the end of the day, get some healing, some compassion and kindness towards the world. Throw it like confetti. And there was this, it's amazing. And I'm going to end it there. I was watching one of these, you know, on Facebook when they're constantly promoting, because these days you see a lot more promotion than actual people shit. And there was this guy who's a podcaster, and he was interviewing his daughter. I think she was 8-year-old. And he asked this 8-year-old, what advice do you have for people out there? And he was like, be kind to one another, because you don't know what everybody is going through. And it doesn't take anything to be kind. Like, and I just listened. I was like, this is an 8-year-old who's reminding your grown-ass motherfuckers to go be kind. That should mean something. Imagine if an 8-year-old has to tell you to be kind. Literally, there's something wrong with this world. And that's why I always, anybody will tell you, whether they've seen me on Podfest streets or anywhere, I'm always smiling. And sometimes even just smiling to somebody, you don't know what they're going through, and just them smiling to them changes their whole world. Smile, share complete. I will literally walk if somebody has a beautiful smile or did their hair or they look cute. I'll say, oh my God, you look cute. And you will just see them smiling, and that will change their world if they're having a bad day. And it doesn't take a lot. It doesn't take a lot. Just be kind, okay?
That was beautiful. Absolutely fucking beautiful. Just for you.
I appreciate that.
I thought you might. It has been absolutely lovely to have you here. This lovely young lady, and she is young, Paula Sima, who has a podcast that's called Talking Shit with P, is somebody who has learned a lot, seen a lot, been a lot, and who I honestly believe probably smiles in her sleep. Because I have always seen this young woman with a smile on her face, no matter what was happening. And that is worth its weight in gold. So please take Paula's advice. Let's be kind. I know, and I know I'm as guilty as some people, that over the pandemic, for some little things, we seem to have become shorter tempered. We have less patience for certain things. And, you know, I'm taking myself to account for these things now, because it doesn't serve anybody. And it seems to be, you know, how one kid at school gets a cold and everybody gets the cold?
Mm-hmm.
Well, one person's getting the short and nasties, and it seems like they're passing it on to everybody. So try and watch out for the short and nasties. Be kind to everybody. And in the meantime, I want to say thank you so much to Paula for joining me. I'm Elaine Lindsay. This is Suicide Zen Forgiveness. And as always, make the most of your today, every day. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for being here for another inspiring episode of Suicide Zen Forgiveness. We appreciate you tuning in. Please subscribe and download on your favorite service and check out SZF's YouTube channel or Facebook community. If you have the chance to leave a 5-star rating or review, it'd be greatly appreciated. Please refer this to a friend you know who may benefit from the hope and inspiration from our guests. Suicide Zen Forgiveness was brought to you by the following sponsors. Truul Social Media, the digital integration specialists. Let them get you rocking page one in the search results. Canada's keynote humorist Judy Kroon, motivational speaker, comedian, author, and stand-up coach at Second City, Judy has been involved for over a decade in the City Street Outreach Program in Toronto. Lisa Sugarman, Boston-based author, columnist, and crisis counselor with the Trevor Project, America's largest suicide and crisis support network for at-risk LGBTQ+ youth, storyteller with the National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI, survivor of suicide loss, and mental health advocate. Lisa's purpose aligns with Elaine's as Lisa shares content and sparks conversations to help end the stigma of suicide and connect people with the support and hope they deserve. Do you have a story to share? Do you know someone you think would be a great guest? Please go to SZF42.com. And for our American listeners, that's SZF42.com. Thank you for listening, and we hope to see you again.
My guest today is pretty exciting. She has one of the biggest, brightest smiles you'll ever see. Her name is Paula Sima. She's the proud owner and host of Talk Shit with P podcast, a safe platform where she talks shit about every shit. Big mental health advocate, and she has personally gone through depression. She ended up starting that podcast during COVID and absolutely loves it. Three times she's been a case study presenter on the mental health panel at PodFest. And this year, I met her when she spoke at Pecha Kucha on how podcasting saved my mental health. She loves what she does. She loves meeting people. And I have never met anyone who is so up all the time. I think it's absolutely incredible, and I know you're going to love her as much as I do. Just to be on the safe side, we're going to make a little caveat here that the language can get a little raw. And you know what? Sometimes that's what's necessary. I can't wait to introduce you to Paula Sima.